The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Unfortunately, Murray McKeown unable to join us, but we are delighted that Cal Thomas is safe in the United States, able to join us. Although, in fairness, you probably didn't need to get out of Florida the other day, did you, Cal? You'd have been safe to have stayed there.
Well, that's true, Matt, but, you know, the lure of Washington with its beautiful weather and this close to an election, and I was born in this city, so, you know, I like to go home. Tom Wolfe is only half right. You can go home again, depending on what's left. Yeah, Miami only got about 30 to 40 mile an hour wind gusts, and even Tampa was spared some of the wind, although the storm surge looks like it's still going to be serious for that area. Sarasota, Florida, just south of that, which will be familiar to a lot of Irish listeners because I know a lot of them come over to Orlando and Disney World, which is not too far away, which of course has been closed down along with the airport for a couple of days. But the power outages, several million people without power. Ron DeSantis, the governor, has pre-positioned a lot of National Guard and helicopters and other resources, as has FEMA from the federal government, to deal with the aftermath of this. And, of course, we're still dealing in North Carolina and some of those other states from Helene. I don't know if you want to get into this, but one of the things I've heard raised in the U.S. media today is how are these storms and the aftermath going to affect the election? Only about a little more than 3 weeks away. It's a great question. How are people going to vote who have not voted early, unable to get to the polls, perhaps? And so I'm afraid, and I think we're always already seeing some of this, that some of the conspiratists who think, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, that the federal government can control the weather are going to make some big deal out of this without evidence.
But sorry, would people actually believe that sort of nonsense? Is she actually going to attract support for that type of comment?
Probably so, Matt, because there are a lot of conspiracy people here. After COVID, when information was coming out from Dr. Anthony Fauci and others, which turned out to be not exactly correct, especially when we were told first we didn't have to wear masks, and then we had to wear masks, and then a certain kind of mask wasn't as effective as another kind of mask. There were mixed signals coming out, and people who don't trust the government anyway. And you may recall, after Barack Obama was elected.
There's a Freudian slip, Cal.
Slip. Yeah, thank you very much. Was elected, there were a lot of right-wingers who went out and bought guns. Same with Joe Biden, because they thought they were going to follow through on their gun control promises. But yeah, there are a lot of people who believe this crazy stuff, and the media, especially the social media, and some of the extremist groups like Alex Jones, who fortunately has gone out of business, promote this kind of stuff.
And yet it's believed. So the people who actually peddle this, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, indeed the Donald Trumps of this world, do you think, do they actually believe it? Or is it just an absolutely cynical way of trying to whip up populism?
I think it's both. I mean, there's nothing new about this, of course. It goes back to the McCarthy era. It goes back, I remember, in the 50s when fluoridation, which was introduced to the public water supply to help reduce tooth decay, was promoted by some people as a communist plot to drug our water. You remember the conspiracy theories in that great movie, Dr. Strangelove. There are all kinds of crazy things going on in there. And so these have always been around. There's still people who don't believe the Lincoln assassination was just a one-off. Same thing with the Kennedy assassination. There's still people who are debating that and writing things about it more than a half century later. So you're always going to find crazy people who believe stuff that isn't true and who are not going to be subject to evidence that counters what their beliefs are.
Yeah, but it seems to be so many more of them now. It's not just a sort of a fringe. It seems to be moving mainstream.
Well, I don't know if it's mainstream, but it's certainly louder. And of course, the media like to promote this kind of stuff because it attracts eyeballs and it's controversial and these people are loudmouths. And you got them on both sides. You got people like Reverend Al Sharpton and crazy people on the left as well. Bernie Sanders, who says some outrageous things sometimes. So it feeds the media narrative and their need to get 24/7 information on. You know, when I started out as in the news business, the evening newscasts were only 15 minutes long. And then while I was still at NBC, it went to 30 minutes and people were worried there wouldn't be enough news to fill. Well, now it's not mostly news and it's not mostly delivered by real journalists. You've got people on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, who are part of activist groups, who are part of one party or another, who are now on the networks and promoting various things and not promoting other things. I would say, with respect to Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of these other people who think that the federal government isn't doing enough to help the hurricane victims, stop complaining and make a difference. Go to these places and hand out water and see what you can do to facilitate the Red Cross and Samaritan's Purse and some of these other nonprofit groups who are trying to help people, instead of sitting in your safe district or in Washington and just criticizing people who are trying to help. It's outrageous.
Okay, but it's interesting what you say about, you know, the where people get their information from, because it seems quite clear now that both of the candidates in the presidential election, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, are looking to podcasts and social media as much as they're looking to old-fashioned broadcast media to try and get their message across. So we see confirmation that Trump, given that he was beaten up badly in the last TV debate, simply doesn't want to do any more of these debates, has refused the Fox News offer now as well, because he wants to go to what he believes would be sympathetic interviewers, and so does she.
Yes, that's right. And part of the problem is when Reagan was president, and a lot of this was good, but it's been misused. He took away the Federal Communications Commission requirement that there be fairness. So if you had a Democrat on, then you had to have a Republican on. If not the same time, then at least at a reasonably later time in order to give a different opinion. Well, all that's gone now. And the good part is that conservatives were allowed through talk radio and other means to get their views out in ways they didn't feel they were getting with New York Times, Washington Post, and the three broadcast networks. I want to interrupt this just a second, Matt, because we just got word that Ethel Kennedy has passed away at the age of 96. I don't know if you've heard that yet.
Sorry, I did know that, and I was going to get to that, and I promise I will in just one moment as well. Okay. But it is interesting, just to finish the point in relation to how the message will be got out, because there are some supporters of Kamala Harris who believe that her momentum has stalled and that she needs to be doing, if not necessarily more debates on television, that she needs to be doing more interviews. Now, maybe not necessarily with the New York Times and the others who are upset at her not doing that, but she needs to get out perhaps more into more of the TikTok and the podcast interviews.
Well, Matt, I've watched most of these things that she has done, including the 60 Minutes interview, The View, some of these other unknown to me at the time podcasts. And she basically says the same thing. When Bill Whitaker asked her on 60 Minutes on CBS on Monday night, how are you going to pay for all these programs? She said, well, we're going to tax the billionaires and the millionaires. Well, studies have shown over the years that even if you confiscated the entire wealth of billionaires and millionaires, it would only be a tiny drop in the bucket to the $35 trillion debt that we now have. There was a Republican leader yesterday, I can't remember his name at the moment, who called for a matching decline in spending to match the increase in spending on hurricane relief. And other Republicans and all the Democrats said, no, we're not going to cut anything. The one thing Donald Trump has going for him economically, I would argue, is that if reelected or elected, he's going to bring an outside auditor in to audit the entire federal government from top to bottom. This has been needed for a very, very long time.
Do you remember how the auditors got on when they were auditing his companies? Yeah, when they found he was well able to cook the books. Hey, just tell us about Ethel Kennedy. Why would you regard her as a significant figure and it's worth discussing her death?
Well, of course, the Kennedy family has such an impact on American politics and American culture. Beginning with Jack Kennedy, when many Roman Catholics hung his picture in their homes right next to the Pope. He was so highly regarded. He was young. He was effervescent. He had these fantastic news conferences at the State Department Auditorium rather than at the White House most of the time, because so many people wanted to come. He represented a new generation from the old generation of Dwight Eisenhower. The torch has passed to a new generation. He said it in his inaugural address. And Ethel Kennedy was part of all of that. She was a remarkable woman. She was a lot like many of the Kennedy women. stoic in response to their husband's infidelities. And, of course, there's been plenty came out about Robert Kennedy and his relationships with the actress Marilyn Monroe and other women. But she was a very interesting woman. I met her once. Her son, Douglas, actually went to work for Fox News. Can you believe that? A lot of liberals in America were very upset, but he did an excellent job in his reporting. And I think there was no bias in it at all. So I think a lot of people are going to not only miss her, but miss the era of the Kennedys for whatever side they're on. They certainly made an important impact on American politics and American culture and life.
Thank you very much, Carl Thomas.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.